And welcome to everybody here on YouTube. This is Overtime. Emmanuel, I think I made it. Kyle, did you make it?
Oh, I more than made it.
And I see Rob. You there?
I am there and here.
I'm...
Gila? Oh, there's Alex. Gila, are you there?
I'm here.
Can't seem to hear
you. Okay. I am here.
All right.
Sorry. We are here. We're also coming through on YouTube a little delayed, which is why they're in my headphones.
Well, we're always delayed. We're always delayed on YouTube. YouTube is well behind the world. As far as...
It is true. So that does get a little confusing when you hear talking to us, but you hear just beginning things, and it gets very complicated. But hello. Hi.
How do we have negative viewers? We have less than zero?
What?
Oh, well, okay, well, I must have misread that. Hold on.
I found our viewers usually are a pretty positive bunch, kind of upbeat.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it wouldn't be the first time we broke YouTube. But yeah, okay, welcome. Are we on YouTube? We can attest
to that. We are, yeah.
Okay, good. Boy, that was something, what happened. What do you think is going to happen next? Are people going to resign, or is it just going to get swept under the rug? I mean, you know, Democrats have absolutely no power. They keep bailing. They keep giving up. So I hope they have it in them to actually pursue this. And maybe even some Republicans might have some character and say this is unacceptable.
Apparently, the editor of the National Review Online is calling for Hegseth to be bounced.
Mm-hmm.
So...
Say what you will.
86.
Say what you will, and that is not a pun about George Will, who was a big part of National Review. But say what you will about National Review. They do have integrity sometimes. Sometimes.
Stop clocks and everything.
Conservative publication, but, you know, sometimes they actually criticize themselves, and that's a good thing to see.
Also, do want to say hello to the 23... people who are streaming with us right now.
Individually?
Yes. Oh, now it's 30.
I have to go around the room.
I looked away for 2 seconds, but it went from 23 to 30.
Greet everyone personally. You know, I can do that, I guess, but...
I mean, Emmanuel, here's the thing. I don't know if romper room was a thing for you when you were growing up.
It's funny because I was actually listening to some old shows and we were talking about romper room. We were talking about romper room and Sonny Fox and Sandy Becker. And you were talking about how I feel like Dorothy in that Wizard of Oz at the end. You were there and you were saying that they would never see you. And,
yes.
And you were waiting for them to acknowledge your birthday. And I was like, well, did your mother send in a postcard at least? How are they supposed to know you were there? But what's new with Romper Room?
No, that's what I'm saying. I don't think Romper Room is on the air anymore. But that was the thing, right? Like Miss Molly would say everybody's name. She never saw me.
No, she didn't see me either. Actually, I don't know if we had the same Romper Room. Was Romper Room regional? Or was it a national Romper Room?
You know, it was functionally regional, but. Rob and I have learned that we had the same romper room because WOR Channel 9 was airing in my part of the country as well.
Okay, well, that right there tells me that you're well behind my romper room because we didn't have stations airing in other cities when I was growing up. We just had the stations that were in our city. So we had Channel 9, WOR, wasn't WWOR, none of that crap. I don't know where the romper room was. I don't know what romper room means. I don't really know anything about it. but, yeah. Why are we talking about this?
Because we were talking about individually greeting the 32 people who were here with us now.
Yeah, I'm not going to do that. Hi, everybody. It's good to see you all. But
yes, our magic mirror has a busted modem, and
it's been a long day. And
our magic mirror needs a little Windex.
Yeah. Speaking of long days, Alex, I know you've had a long day because you're over in a different part of the world again, which you insist on doing, and it just makes you more tired. And when are you going to see that?
Yes, I know. Well, I'll be back in New York tomorrow, and I will be back home, I think, and hopefully not traveling for about a month or so. Although, I don't know, I might be going to D.C., but that's at least in the same time zone. And I mean,
you will somehow find the one place that doesn't have internet in D.C. and talk to us more.
Yeah, this is really crappy tonight. I don't know what's going on.
No, it's overtime. It's shitty. You can say that. It's overtime. It was pretty damn shitty.
I guess, right? You know, some people have to class it up here, though.
Well, I'll continue saying whatever you were trying to say at the end of the last show, and we can maybe take phone calls.
Oh, God, I don't even remember what that was. But I think it was saying, like, look, you know, it's the context matters here, like where you actually
see, that's all it takes. You just have to get them started, and they'll freeze up.
Did it? Fuck me. Okay.
That came through loud and clear, though. Maybe if you just cuss,
there you go.
If you cuss all the time,
I'm not even gonna try.
The power of the cuss word will drive you through.
Yeah, exactly. It probably will. I won't even try. I think we should just take some phone calls.
Here's the thing, Alex. I really do want to troubleshoot this. You know, we're watching you, and we're seeing you freeze, and we're all laughing and pointing. It's great. But we don't need to see you. We just need audio. Are you saying that you don't have an internet connection that can simply carry a damn audio signal?
No, I think it's just spotty. I think it's dropping packets and things is what I think it is.
Can we ask you to call next time on the telephone? Because I know that won't drop out.
That's possible, but I'm actually not in the arts club tonight, so I'm in an unusual place that has shitty internet access, as you would say.
But again, we don't need internet, we just need a phone. You know, so if this happens again, let's do that, because you know, you have things to say. I want people to hear you.
Yeah, I appreciate that. Yeah, it was really annoying, and today I think was particularly important to get points across. This is a really, really interesting story.
I think in situations like this, Alex, not that I don't enjoy looking at your face on our video call here, but I think maybe if things become too much of a problem, you could shut your video off, leave your sound on, and use less bandwidth, and maybe then we'll lose you less.
Yeah, I was thinking that too, but I think it's just a matter of like the network dropping devices and then reconnecting quickly. I think that's what's happening.
Not to open up this too much technically, but wouldn't this also be like an effect of Signal using a little bit more substantial encryption? So it does take a little bit more bandwidth. Like it could be our end as well, more so than other platforms we use in the past. I don't even know what tin cans and Twine Skype used, but I will say that the video resolution for everybody is actually a little bit lower than ordinary picture would have been. So it could have been the confluence of all of our bandwidth plus whatever kind of bandwidth the encryption takes for these kinds of calls.
Do we have to be encrypted on Signal? Can we unencrypt?
I don't think it's supposed to work that way.
But I want to be in clear text. I do. I don't want secrets. I want everything to be out in the open.
I think that's just radio.
We were on the radio. You know, we're not trying to encrypt. So I don't know. If that solves the problem, that'd be cool. Alex, you keep turning your video on and off. So maybe if you stop doing that and just go with audio, let's test Rob's theory.
Yeah, I'm going to do that. I'm going to show
you. You dropped again. You were just staring at me dully because, you know, you weren't actually there.
I know, So I'm just going to keep talking now for a little while.
Be extra combative.
Yeah, let's just say something important because that's what seems to trigger it.
Okay. Right. Yeah, that's usually what happens, right, when we're dealing with that.
So you've discovered the meaning of life, Alex. Do go on.
Well, you know, other than 42, right? Life, what was it?
Good one. Didn't see that coming. That's very.
You know, that was it, right? You know, of course, right?
When you were approached by the God particle, what kind of questions? What was the inquiry like?
And for those who don't know the God particle, you have to watch Dark.
Higgs boson. Yeah. We do have a.
Wait, no, again, let Alex talk. Let Alex talk for at least a minute, because he hasn't done that yet tonight.
A minute?
You're supposed to interrupt me, Alex.
Go ahead, Alex.
What am I going to talk about for a full-on minute here? I think what I was actually saying at the end, though, was that the context in which you receive and interact with classified information really matters. That anybody who's in the intelligence community, you know, it's almost like an episode of Severance, right? When you leave the CIA facility or you leave the NSA facility, you do not talk about the things that you were working on at work. You don't address any kind of classified.
Are you pausing for thought there, or did you really freeze on audio?
No, I think I froze. God
okay.
damn it.
Well, now we
see.
Know. Now we know.
Yeah, we tried.
It's like bursts of connectivity, and then it like drops a little bit and then comes back. It's definitely waves.
This is why I like wired connections more than wireless connections.
Well, I can do a test. So maybe what I should do is actually tether to my phone. And that might actually be better than the shitty network.
Someone else's. Okay, yeah, maybe your service is better.
Yeah, do you have bars on your phone?
Yeah,
call them pubs over there.
Yeah. Those get.
Thank you, Rob. Yeah,
that was funny, Rob.
The entertainment never stops around here, but I am trying to get to the bottom of a serious matter. Do you have signal?
We have a phone call.
And I don't mean the signal that we're using. Oh, God, what a stupid name.
I do.
What is it with companies naming themselves things that are hard to differentiate? Signal, X. It's like you can't find anything anymore because you keep getting the wrong results.
All right, I'm going to try to connect to my phone.
Okay.
So I'm probably going to lose you while that connection happens.
We have a phone call.
This is an adventure. You know who the phone call is. It's going to be Rebel.
Oh,
he's going to put us on hold. He's going to do all kinds of experiments.
No, I don't know.
You don't think it's Rebel?
Might be Rebel.
All right. We're not going to give out any information. But caller, please hold on. We're going to get to you in a moment. We're just seeing what happens to Alex, who either is or isn't moving. I can't really tell. I think he is moving.
He's just sitting very, very still.
Alex is a man in control of his own destiny.
Oh, no, he's moving. Look at that. He moved his head. All right. So how are you connected now, Alex? Or are you connected?
Well, it failed to connect to my phone, so.
It failed to connect to your... How do you... Okay, fine. It's 2025, you know. Don't know how you can't connect to your phone. Let's take this call. Good evening. You're on overtime.
Yes, Mr. Goldstein. How are you doing today?
Good. How are you?
I'm doing fine, man. I'm actually multitasking, and I said I had to call you guys to find out. It's about something that I received through WhatsApp, and I just wanted to find out from you guys if you think if it's a scam, if I should leave it alone.
Okay, tell us what you got.
Yeah. Have you guys heard of eClincher?
eClincher?
They say it's a data promotion platform that strategically partners with app enterprises and helps apps improve their data, et cetera, et cetera.
Never heard of it.
No, it's a long past. I don't want to read the whole thing.
I would stay away. I would stay very far away from any unsolicited messages.
Yeah, if that came to you without you asking for it, that I don't think that's good.
You're better off figuring out some other service on your own. Like, look it up for independently if you're concerned about like PageRank or your search engine optimization or anything they're offering. You could probably do better just researching on your own.
Yeah, I've never answered an ad like that.
It's a money making opportunity. What it is
right there. No, I'm sorry, but when you say that right away, I know it's a scam.
Yeah, but check this out. Let me finish though. You basically click like 35 times out of 35, and there's all types of different apps and stuff, and they have something called a combination package. Each of the actions you do is considered a task. And the combination package means, like, if you click along the way and you stop at, like, 26 out of 35 and you can't do no more, they tell you have a combination package and that you have to, you have to go into Cash App and purchase Bitcoin. But when I first signed up, the person, my contact on WhatsApp, because they have a community, it's a whole bunch of people that's part of the eClinch community.
The eClinch community?
eClincher. ECLIC.
Okay. All right. No, we're listening.
Yeah,
we're listening.
I was trying to spell it. eClincher, basically. And this person, they put the money up for you. And actually, I made a little profit. But when they said I had made a comp, I got a bonus or something like that, they wanted me to put in $130.
None of this sounds legit.
Yeah, seriously, you just to get disentangled from this, like just disassociating yourself, you're probably going to have to give up an organ or something.
Well, and also, you know, you will benefit. That's how they pull you in. You'll, you know, get some kind of gain, but then you'll want to put it back in, and that's when you'll realize the loss, and there's no coming back from that. So, you know, at this stage, this early stage, I would just, you know, warn other people about it, like I think you've warned a lot of people tonight.
Oh, okay.
All right.
Okay. But you guys shouldn't have heard of it. So
we haven't heard of it. We haven't heard of it, but we've heard the wording and the general tone, and it's just alarm bells going off.
Yeah, because it's like they want to. It's pulling you in. It's like, oh, this might be something. It's working. There's all this stuff they're trying to like get you comfortable doing, like moving money around or using your cash, or transferring things into crypto. It could change very quickly to where you do something that seems like, oh, yeah, this is legit, but you're doing something that is actually compromising you in a way like you've been tricked or, like, set up to think it's friendly and it's all good and you're just – it's all worth it.
Yeah.
But then they pull it out from under you. Like, definitely – if you are using this in good faith, like, be extremely cautious. If you're just trying to get us to talk about it and sell it, too, well, nice one.
No, I don't think so.
But we'll also definitely, like, have people write in. Like, if anybody's heard of this, please write in, oth@2600.com. We'd love to hear if you're familiar with this, if it is legit or something, please tell us so we can share with the listener.
And Rob has something to add? Go ahead.
Yeah, I just looking eClincher up. Of course, I haven't used this thing. I don't actually know anything about it. I can't say for certain one way or another whether it's any kind of legit, but I will say a huge red flag I'm seeing is putting out a web search for it. I am scrolling past pages and pages and pages of results, and none of these are on any reputable sites. About 99% of them are on eClincher's own site, so nobody's talking about them except themselves. And I think when things are trustworthy, you will see other people out there talking about them on, like, verifiable human-powered websites, and I'm not seeing that here.
Maybe we should contact them and tell them how they can get search engine optimization from us, you know?
Yeah.
It's an opportunity.
The only reason why I brought it up is because I'm in my late 40s, and I remember when I was in college, we had these tournament teams like Amway and QuickStar and the American Communication Network.
Oh, totally.
Good old days, yeah.
Primerica, that was like the last one.
Uh-huh. You know.
Yeah. Now it's digital.
Well,
exactly.
If you're insulating yourself and you're just aware, just be very aware what you're giving up and, you know, how it's playing out. And tell other people about it. I mean, like you are here. If things don't turn out well, or if they do, I mean, I maybe you are putting us onto something. But
and we have late breaking news from Gila. Go ahead, Gila. You're muted. Oh, I'm sorry, I muted you. Go ahead.
Well, because I didn't think. 3.1 stars on Glassdoor. So this is not. It doesn't seem externally reputable, and also. Internally, people are not super psyched out about it. I'm not going to attempt to read that username, but thank you to the person who shared the 3.1 stars on Glassdoor.
Okay, we hope that helps.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, let me let somebody else
call. All right, thanks for your call.
Be well.
You know, these things are very common. You know, we get mail like this all the time, but we're kind of like trained to just ignore certain things and not even realize they came in.
I was going
to
say this earlier, when you talked about Venmo, I was like, people, you know, this is how I use Venmo. I don't use that.
Yeah, that's
my Venmo interaction. That's how social I am on Venmo. Social payments, yeah, I don't do that. That's how I use it.
So okay.
I cannot believe hundreds of this man's,
that's
contact.
The thing right there. You know, it's one,
if that was real, I'm like, what is your social life like where you are paying for things with this particular piece of software? Like, that's fine if you're like a freshman in college or something, or like I don't know, you want to play around with it in a very tight network of people, but just willy-nilly like, oh, yeah, Venmo everywhere, everybody, yeah. Everybody.
I mean, are you kidding me? I know it works. You know, people use it. It sounds dodgy, but it does work. But, you know, if you have a situation where just having someone's name potentially opens up a door where you can see all their contacts and then be able to contact those people... you know, I've heard of people sending, you know, 25 cents to celebrities and getting the celebrity to answer them for some reason. And now you have your foot in the door with that celebrity. You know, that's not a good system. That's not how it's supposed to work at all.
I don't care what benefit. It just, sorry.
Go ahead, Gila.
So two things. First of all, Venmo always made me very nervous because you could see everybody's activity.
Mm-hmm.
And that just always creeped me out real bad. Our buddy Tim in Connecticut. Coming in clutch with some information saying Regional Beginnings Romper Room originated as a regional television shows across Canada, with the first show airing at CKLW-TV in Windsor, Ontario in 1964.
I used to listen to CKLW radio on my AM radio, and they would play big band. They play all kinds of interesting music, and that was one of the first things I did as a kid. But, yeah, Romper Room, I'd like to know where it was taped in New York, because that was a big part of my life. I don't remember any of it, but I do know that was a major thing. Anybody remember Mr. Dress-Up? No, none of you do because it's Canadian. And Mr. Dress-Up was like their Mr. Rogers. And he was really awesome. He'd dress up in all these different outfits throughout a half hour. And I think everybody in Canada knows Mr. Dress-Up, even though he hasn't been on the air since he died, I guess. But probably before that, too. A little bit before that.
I'm unfamiliar. I don't think I saw one episode of that. I'm actually still ranting about Venmo in my head. Like, sometimes people will say, like, oh, you take Venmo, like, for buying a back issue or something, or, like, in a certain situations, and I have this sense of, like, anxiety or, like, FOMO or something, like, oh, maybe we should, maybe, and then it completely dissolves. I'm like, no. Anyway, we have a phone call.
Okay, good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hello, it's Lou Aichu from Washington, D.C.
Hey, how's it going?
Creator of... Yeah, I'm the one who did Gay Furry Hackers.
You created Gay Furry Hackers. Wow, we've
welcome back.
This. Yes.
Yeah, I wish more people would hop on to it. It's not something that really took off. I was the only one to create a quote-unquote musical interpretation of that. But
well,
yeah, I mean, the sample's up there. There's so many decades of shows out there for people to sample.
That's true.
You know, yeah, you need to get. I think we as hackers need to get on that.
I think tonight's show is definitely filled with priceless samples.
Okay.
Yeah, seriously.
I don't have anything for the immediate future.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's good for you to admonish people or let them know they need to get their sequencing chops up and like start taking some of this audio and making beautiful, beautiful, gorgeous. Soundscapes and art with it.
Yeah, people need to get their samplers tuned up for this one.
Uh-huh. Cool. So what's you're in the heart of all the activity, I guess, in D.C.
yeah, just talking to people all the time about the signal thing. It's so hilarious, man.
Uh-huh.
This will happen again, okay? We will keep having these kinds of idiotic, flukes under this administration. I know that's for a fact, and maybe not all of them will make the news in this spectacular fashion, but it will happen again. That's obvious. It's clear.
Well, you know, I think the secret is, first of all, you put idiots in charge, they're going to do idiotic things. So that's a good bet right there,
right,
if you get the chance to take it. But the fact that there are so many good people out there, too, that will do the right thing when circumstances throw things into their lap, you know, like Jeffrey Goldberg did, and share this information with everybody rather than, you know, do what maybe somebody at Fox News would do and say, oh, hey, Mr. President, you don't want this to get out. We're not going to tell anybody.
Right. You took a lot of guts to make a decision like that.
Yeah. And we might all find ourselves in a situation where, you know, a little bit of courage is necessary to share something with a lot of people. And I hope that we meet that test.
Yeah, and to address the caller previous to me, you know, they're just going on and on about what is it, E-Clincher?
Uh-huh.
I mean, that's such an odd name, but I think what they need to realize is that nothing in life is free, okay? It's not easy to make money. Because what they want is to basically put in no effort and get a payout. I mean, that's not how the system works.
Mm-hmm.
You should love what you do and do what you love and try to at least figure out a way to live off that, you know, just keep body and soul together. That's what it's all about.
Absolutely.
Yeah. And then I have one more thing addressed to Rebel. I don't know if he's listening right now, if he's going to call in the future, but you also need to get on that W3M. I brought up W3M last time I called in, and he mentioned nothing about it. Before that, he was always mentioning links. There's two different links. There's LYNX, and then there's LINKS, which is another one that can also do images in your browser. So just putting that out there. There's a lot of text mode browsers, and a few of them do images. And
I didn't know there was an LINKS. That's kind of cool. I knew about the LYNX one, of course.
Confusing naming, especially when we're on the radio. They sound identical, but
they do.
When we're talking about these on the internet, we're all using text, so we can see the difference. Radio, magazines, etc.
Well, we know that Rebel has a new machine, so maybe W3M is on his radar. Can you just remind us what the features of that particular software are?
The text mode browser for Unix systems, and using the frame buffer, it can display images directly in a frame buffer terminal. I explained a bit last time, and I was a bit clumsy. Yeah, I've been trying to work out on my speaking. But yeah, there's a little bit of configuration to set it up for graphical terminals. Like if you're using a graphical, a terminal emulator where you have the terminal in a window on the desktop. There's a little more set up for that. When I tried it on there, there is a bit of, most of the graphics didn't display. But like I said previously, there's a key code, what is it, a key combination you can use under Linux to get onto a frame buffer terminal, and that way you can display images using the frame buffer. It's really neat, and it's useful for embedded devices where you don't have the X server running, you don't have enough resources and such. Like, this is something that could be used to make, I don't know, like an old Pentium 2 or 3, not sure exactly, PC that can at least run Debian or another Linux distribution, whichever you want, in a terminal fashion. And you could have W3M as a way to just have a basic way to read, look at web pages. You know, not everybody in the world is as privileged as we are. Not everybody has the latest computing muscle, so there should always be alternative methods, no matter how cumbersome or masochistic, if that's the correct word, these may seem to others who are on these latest new systems that can do all these things. You know, we've got graphics cards now that can do instant, real-time ray tracing, 60 hertz refresh rate, all that. Yeah, personally, for me, I come from a very... No, I don't like to take things for granted, is how I'd put it.
Yeah, and it's great that you point out the ability to use this in the sense of, like, retro computing or making older hardware.
Yes, I'm very active in retro computing, so that's why I come up with these things.
The flip side of that, you're talking about our privileges. Also, a lot of the newer chips and microcontrollers and, as you said, embedded stuff are incredibly powerful, and we all have access to those. Those could be running the very same software that you're talking about, even when in their limited capacity. So very, very good points as far as being sort of portable in terms of various platforms that you could make useful.
Yeah, I mean, there's a device used in vintage computing. It's called a Wi-Fi modem, and it's a micro ESP-based microcontroller that can connect to Wi-Fi. It's controllable over a serial port, which most old computers have. And that thing, that little chip is powerful enough to log on to Telnet BBSs, forward everything to the serial. It can download files and send them over serial. And what else? What else it can do? But yeah, I mean, the ESP, it's not an ESP32. It's, I forgot which one. It's a ESP series chip with built-in networking. But that
sure.
might be more powerful than some of the computers we might be connecting to this to, like a
yeah.
Commodore 64 or a ZX Spectrum.
Absolutely. Great, great points. And there's just so much capability all around us. We just have
they
to...
are really cheap. Go ahead.
Yeah, and affordability is, whether it's old or new, it's just about thinking about repurposing and different uses and creating steps to put those implement those applications for them. So great ideas.
Definitely.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks for your call, and hopefully we see you at our next conference.
Oh, thank you. I'm thinking about it. I'm always thinking about it. Well, see ya.
All right.
Okay. And Rebel, you got to get on that W3M and everyone else.
Yeah, we're gonna. If he calls in tonight, we're definitely going to bring that up. So,
yep. And everybody else, check out Gay Furry Hackers. I know a lot of people saw it, and that was pretty interesting. But you got to sample that. I want to see people doing with it because it's pretty funny. That's what I thought. So anyway, see ya. Goodbye. And thank you for the show.
All right. Take care.
We did drop the link to Gay Furry Hackers in the chat for people who are listening and are not familiar with that particular musical classic.
And can you drop the link to people who might be listening?
It's in the chat.
Yeah, but people can't look
chat.
At the chat or are listening on with their ears. Can't you read it? What you posted?
Oh yes. If you go to SoundCloud.com/LuRaichu, which is LuRaichu /gay-furry-hackers.
All right, cool. And let us know what you think. Again, you can write to us, oth@2600.com. Did Alex fall off the bed? I just see a bed there. No, I didn't look at the screen for a while. I'm concerned.
He may be...
I think he built himself a fort out of the pillows, and he's hiding from us.
All right.
He's doing,
oh, there he is. He's back.
He's taking care of himself.
He landed hard on the bed just now.
I did, yeah.
All right.
Yeah. No, I have been... I get a fly pretty early tomorrow morning, so I am...
frozen. Like you're frozen is what you are.
Oh,
I'm sorry. Did you notice not a single caller has dropped? Everybody who calls us is able to maintain their connection. So telephones are the way to go.
A shitty connection.
We don't need need to see each other. We really don't.
It would be pretty expensive to maintain an international call, though, wouldn't it?
It's odd. I don't know. I haven't made an international call in a while, but this is free.
Yeah.
So, this is video. We don't need video. We just need audio.
Yeah. Yeah, well, we've already established that it's not it's just the network dropping.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a bandwidth issue. It's a shitty network issue.
All right, let's plan in advance next time. Go ahead, Kyle.
Yeah.
Oh, I was just going to say it would be interesting if you could implement something where you had like a local number that dialed into our Skype
Did you say
our signal
the other S word? Wow.
I just used a cuss. I'm sorry about my swear. There is a phone call.
There's always a phone call. But I just want to explore this a little bit more. You know, we are using Signal. We don't have to use Signal for Alex, at least.
I was thinking about hotspots. Like, what if he had a hotspot? And then I was thinking about the, what is that new thing that EFF's been promoting that's an MC catcher that loads onto a hotspot? But you could have some kind of, like, travel hotspot. But I think you need a cell plan, like a SIM card or something, to power your hotspot. So it would still be costly to some degree for international. You had a local UK one.
Or if he carried a cell tower, a mini cell tower with him.
Yeah. I think it's just this particular location is not ideal, obviously. The network here is old or rickety or something like that, or just unfit for purpose in some way or another.
Or you could, like, load balance multiple. But see, if you're a customer, you're only going to get one login, so you can't have like four and like hog a whole bunch of channels and load balance and have a better connection.
Alex, if there is a feedback survey card, please be honest, be brutal, and make sure this doesn't happen to anyone ever again.
Yeah, it sucks. What are you going to do?
We have a phone call. That's what we're going to do. We're going to pick up the phone. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Yeah, hi. I wanted to recommend an article to you guys. It's from the German magazine Der Spiegel.
Der Spiegel,
and
yes.
It's somewhat related to what you guys were talking about. It says, private data and passwords of senior U.S. security officials found online. It says, now reporting by Der Spiegel has found that the contact data of some of the officials in the Signal chat, including mobile phone numbers, is freely accessible on the Internet. And they're referring to Pete Hegseth, Waltz, and Tulsi Gabbard. They were able to find their info, phone numbers, and some passwords.
That's that thing where Signal is findable as your contact, right? Right.
Yeah.
Is this a new article, caller?
Yes. It's from today, actually. Yeah,
wow, that's pretty
earlier
new.
Today, pretty recent. Yeah, but I mean, it just goes to what you were saying before. We have clowns. It's a confederacy of dunces at the top of our government.
If only we had clowns, they would be so much more confident.
Well, these are malevolent clowns.
That's true, yeah.
Well put.
I mean, it's just so depressing. I mean, I hope we can make it two more years. I don't know, till the midterm.
Well, but I don't know if that's... You're right. We have to be upbeat here. You know, we're having fun with this.
Definitely have a plan for this.
It's crazy. It's scary. But, you know, they're more pissed off than we are right now. And that I get great comfort in that.
It says it was particularly easy for Der Spiegel reporters to discover Hegseth's mobile phone number and email address. They turned to a commercial provider of contact information that is primarily used by companies for sales, marketing, and recruitment. So these people are real dummies. I mean,
guys, why didn't we do this? Why do we have to wait for Der Spiegel? It's not even their country. You know, we should have done this. I'm sorry, everybody. We fell down on the job here.
Do the work.
Yeah, we got to do the work. Come on, everybody. We can dox these people. We can just reveal all the information that they don't want out there.
It speaks to how not amateur, but just how kind of subsumed in commercial culture they are. They're like super mainstream. They don't think about staying out of these systems and stuff like that. And there's a lot of like posturing and like popularity in their circles. So of course they're like, you know, networking and and using commercial this and being on that, and they're not thinking about having small footprint or, you know, being kind of a low visibility or anything like that. It's all about being brazen and like throwing weight around and stuff, right?
Go ahead, Gayla.
Article, it's fascinating. I'm going to send it to you guys right now. Apparently, there were passwords from these guys that got found on Have I Been Pwned, and they didn't change them. So the information also led to Waltz's profiles for Microsoft Teams, LinkedIn, WhatsApp, and Signal.
Wow. Just wow.
Right, and Tulsi Gabbard's email address was found on WikiLeaks and Reddit.
Yeah,
this article. I mean, really disturbing.
For those unfamiliar with Michael Waltz, he's a former Green Beret. He was a defense advisor at the Pentagon under Donald Rumsfeld, under Robert Gates. He was a consultant to Dick Cheney on counterterrorism. He is a career national security dude. And this is what he's responsible for right
now.
Not
a cybersecurity expert. That's pretty clear.
Wow.
All right, caller, thank you for that. That's fascinating stuff. We're going to look into it.
Yeah, definitely check it out. Oh, and that interview you did with Jason Scott a couple of weeks ago, that was fantastic. That was one of the best shows you ever did.
Well, thank you very much.
That was really amazing. And I hope you get him back in, you know, you should have him on like every 5 or 6 months. I mean, at least maybe 2 or 3 times a year, because he's amazing.
No, you're absolutely right. The hours just fly by.
We really love checking in with him, and he is such a huge supporter and so speaks so positively about what we do. It makes us want to do it even better in every regard. And what their work over the Internet Archive and his passion for what he's doing is, and sense of humor about everything is just—it's really rewarding to be a part of and to share with him about stuff. So I'm glad you heard that in that show.
And not to steer the ship back to Hope with every call, but he is going to be at Hope. He's going to be a big presence there. So more of the Jason Scott magic you can witness yourself.
Yeah, I look forward to it. Well, you guys have a great night. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for your call, Alex. I wanted to ask you about this because you found another .gov site. I meant to ask about it on the show, but boy, we were so talked out with the crazy signal stuff. What did you find this week, or what found you?
Yeah, it was actually really quite interesting, and it hasn't been out there at all yet. But you know, part of the system that I wrote to track new domains in the .gov zone file, and any zone file, but I found something really quite interesting yesterday. Inevitably, this is going to break up as soon as I say what the domain is, right? So it was really weird. It's trumpcard.gov. That's an odd one,
you know,
right?
Alex, now there's Alex, you know, I appreciate a joke just like the next guy. But if you're going to sit there and tell me that this government, even the clown car government we have right now, check clowncar.gov too, by the way, you're going to tell me that they went and registered a site called trumpcard.gov? I mean, what am I supposed to do with that?
I have no idea. I mean, it's
well,
it's
I'm going to it right now to see if there's anything there.
No, I don't think there's anything there yet, but there is a commercial enterprise.
We all know it's
the Trump card.
You froze again at the most inopportune moment.
For fuck's sake. There is a commercial enterprise associated with Trump hotels, I believe, called the Trump card. And what would be particularly interesting is that if this is a direct crossover of commercial interests in a .gov site, then that would arguably violate the .gov Act.
Let me just stop you right there, because every time somebody says this, yeah, this will be a violation, they say, we don't care, we're going
to
do it anyway. A judge ruled against them, they ignore the judge.
When do we actually
get to do something about them, you know, flagrantly flouting the law? Yeah, this is a violation, absolutely.
I agree. I mean, it would be illegal, but it would be against the law. But I think, you know, look, we're going headlong into a constitutional crisis, perhaps, in this country, and the violation of the .gov Act may seem, you know, really like just a very small blip here that nobody would care about. But I think it's dangerous if we let these things go.
We have a phone call.
Yeah.
We have a phone call. Okay. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook Overtime. Go ahead.
Hi.
Hey, what's up?
I was wondering, last week when you took phone calls over the air and you told people who call in on the after show not to call in because you wanted to have the phone lines open for people who listen over the air radios. I listen to over the air radio, you know, for WBAI. I am actually within the broadcast area. So I didn't call in, but I wondered whether, you know, that was quite right.
Oh, well, hold on a second. The idea is not, you know, who listens where. It's how many voices we want to get on the air. So, you know, let's use Rebel as an example. Rebel calls all the time. He might be listening to the radio, so he's going to call the radio show too. It's like we're hearing too much Rebel calling in on the phone, and somebody else isn't able to call in as a result of that. And I think that's pretty easy to understand.
Yeah, and the caveat here is also is having something to say, and
yes,
it's the
I didn't have anything to say, so that was another
right.
You always have something to say, so that's not a worry.
Well, right,
it's not judging the quality of the call.
Last week I didn't have anything I wanted to say, so
well, and it wasn't that we wanted to be so cut and dry like that. I mean, yes, technically you may be right. Yes, you listen on one or the other. But right. The point, as Emmanuel pointed out, is we just want to give an opportunity to people new voices so that we keep it a nice eclectic mix of conversation
we got
and those
a call,
people have an opportunity.
We got a call from a leftist fireman. All right, if we had taken another regular call, we wouldn't have gotten that call. That was a good call.
Uh-huh.
Anyway, what's on your mind this week, or is this what's on your mind this week?
Well, there's so much going on. Where do I start? Trump.
No, don't start there. Don't start there.
No,
I won't.
I'm
so tired.
I mean, it's just, you know, how do we live through the next 4 years waiting for, you know, his Big Mac heart attack?
Well, you know what we do? We wait for moments like the one that happened this week, because we know there are going to be more of them. And
the signal moment,
yes, but there are going to be more. And if the right people are in the right place at the right time, basically it'll play out in a way that is very damaging to them. And they will unravel like a ball of yarn. They will unravel. They're not cut out for this kind of thing. They really are not. And all we have to do is keep our integrity, stick with each other, support each other. Not do what they want us to do, which is basically descend into disagreements on minutia, and realize that the goal here is to get democracy back and then fix it from that point on. I know there's a lot that needs to be done, but right now, you know, we're being pushed down a hill, and we have to all figure out how to get back up that hill.
Well, I've been thinking, you know, Trump was not the ideal person to be in office when COVID came around, but at least he did want to get those MRA shots done quickly. If something or some other disease comes around during his stay and Robert F. is in charge, what are we going to do?
Yeah, that's a good question.
Well, it's an opportunity for that unraveling, because then they would be at loggerheads, right? Or they would be basically in conflict,
but people
right?
People would be dying right and left everywhere.
Well, that's what happened during COVID. A lot of people seem to forget that happened during COVID. And in fact, Trump is one of those people. What he did during COVID actually was good, at least parts of it were, but he basically would not do that again, and in fact is trying to rewrite history where he wasn't doing the things that he actually did. So I actually think they wouldn't be at loggerheads as much as we think they would be, but I think the average person would realize that these people are wrong, they're crazy, and they're going to get us killed. And then something will happen. And then people will... you're seeing with the Teslas, you're seeing people react. They're reacting in all kinds of different ways. When you basically make it impossible for people to express themselves, when you threaten them with being, you know, sent to a foreign country, I mean, they're doing that now. They're threatening American citizens with being sent to El Salvador if you protest in a certain way or if you commit a certain kind of crime. It's, yeah, of course it's illegal, but they're threatening anyway. Marco Rubio is doing this. If we let that become normal, if we let that become the kind of thing that we can expect, then, all bets are off as to what this regime is capable of. So people need to react, and sometimes they're going to react in ways that, you know, aren't the best choice. Like, you know, burning Teslas. Yeah, I understand why they're happening. Wouldn't do that myself. Certainly would never do that to anybody that owns one, because they're not the enemy, but the people who are pushing this agenda. They certainly are. And if you make it impossible to raise your voice or to sign a petition or to vote, well, then people are going to burn things, and it's going to get ugly. And you know, you have no one to blame but yourself, the people in charge.
Yeah, and they're already operating with, like, sort of extrajudicial punishment and in illegal modes, which is why, as E pointed out, when we talk about, like, domains or little nuts and bolts and dotted I's and crossed T's,
it doesn't really seem like any of that is going to amount to anything if they're already operating with impunity and trying to and backing people into positions where expressing themselves with these sorts of high visibility and relatively low penalty actions. I mean, they haven't yet made an example of anybody out of that's done that kind of vandalism, and you know, that's destroying property. I think you and I were talking this week about what violence is versus vandalism.
Yeah, vandalism. I even asked Elon Musk's AI bot, is vandalism violence? And it said, of course not. It's not. It's totally different. And you know what? Destroying a Tesla, it's not a hate crime. No, it's not a hate crime at all, because a Tesla is not a human being. So, yeah.
If you have a government that's operating illegally and victimizing the entirety of its populace in myriad ways, what, honestly, would you expect people to do? What is the logical extent of that? What kind of backlash should you expect to see? And if you know that, like, mass actions are just going to get you, you know, troops and National Guard and rubber bullets and tear gas, you've seen that. I mean, people on the left understand that. They know what that is,
mm-hmm.
the flexing of the executive. Then you're going to get a lot of, like, asymmetrical and unusual sorts of tactics and social warfare, shall we say.
It's not just limited to the United States, because this regime is making enemies all over the world. And, you know, we've seen, watching Canadian television, boy, we see how they are basically energized by all of this, and how they are finding themselves and putting aside their differences and uniting. And we need to learn from them, do the same damn thing. And also, dare I say, the people of Serbia, you know, standing up against corruption over there, and standing up against the Trump regime as well. 350,000 people rallying in Belgrade. I mean, when do we do something like, we're a much bigger country, we need to be doing things like that too.
I think
even Greenland we can learn something from, because they're uniting against all of this. So, you know, there are going to be increasing numbers of countries and parts of the world that will join with us.
Yeah, I don't want to imply that a mass action is itself wrong because there will be a clampdown on it. I just think that the American populace has been incredibly comfortable for a very long time, and to orchestrate something on that scale takes a lot more unification, galvanizing of messaging and action, and a lot of anticipation of what occurs in large groups like that, and a preparedness that we just have not practiced in this country because of our relative comfort. And, you know, being prepared for provocateurs, being prepared for, you know, taking care of people, and what kind of messages are on signs, and how to communicate and coordinate, all of those things that it would take to do that take the kinds of unity we've seen in Canada, the kinds of tactics that have been used in peaceful protests. It can happen, but it has to remain peaceful. It has to have scale. And we've been too comfortable, like, you know, going and consuming. And there needs to be a cohesive sense of discomfort that leads to an action like that for us to really approach that in a way that will work and not result in some kind of chaotic thing with a lot of casualties negative coverage and publicity, and then, you know, having people turn on this sort of resistance that this administration deserves.
See what you unleashed?
But
go ahead.
Thing is, you know, we saw a one-day civil war erupt on that day,
January 6th.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want to see that happening elsewhere. Thing is, the American people are not educated in how to do nonviolent civil disobedience and keep it peaceful.
Yeah, it gets out of hand.
We need to have massive education on how that works if we want to keep things nonviolent.
It takes discipline. It takes serious discipline.
And it takes education, training.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have this sort of the sense of the individual. People are very individualistic in our country. We're a different society than a lot of other places. And liberty and all of these sort of catchphrases that we're brought up on, they have an impact, and we have to be distinct from those things to be able to stick together. And that is really it. And you're getting it, like, even in the coverage of this, like, I've heard more from all corners of my life, unusual ways. It's just in the discourse. People are talking about this. Everybody knows about this. And it's been funny to me. I can't step into any conversation or talk to anybody without somebody joking about it. And the immediacy mm-hmm. of how aware people are of something because it is imminently ridiculable. But that's a start. That's a sign, a good sign that people are at least aware, and there's humor and good faith in that. So, but it will take that awareness and people having the right response in these moments and make it something that other people can get behind.
Final word, caller.
I'm not encouraged by what I hear. I'm not seeing it happen.
Yeah, well, you know, I could see that, but we don't really have a choice, do we?
Well, we need to have non-violent civil disobedience training everywhere, so that when things happen, people are already trained.
Yeah, but you know,
they're liable to happen unscheduled.
Yeah, I think that's what's going to happen. I think it is going to happen unscheduled. I don't think you can control something like this. And I think if you try, it's just going to push it further down the road. And it's kind of like the Democrats, you know, always filing petitions and motions and things like that, and never actually getting things done. And that's what I think the people will teach us.
That reminds me, Trump threatening all of the lawyers who filed things against him.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wondering, will that have a chilling effect, or is that like hitting the bee's hive with a stick?
It depends on the quality of the lawyer, I guess, you know? So we'll just have to see what their reaction is. I'm sure Alex would not be one of them that is intimidated. Anyway, well, we're going to move on, but thanks for your call.
Okay, bye.
Take care. She really got us going. I've been hearing all these things, you know, recently. Like, I think it was Marco Rubio who was it was Mike Johnson who was threatening judges. You know how judges keep saying that Trump can't keep doing what he's doing, and basically saying you have to stop deporting people without due process. And Johnson the other day said that, you know, Congress controls the budget of the judiciary, and basically implying that they're going to just cut them off if they keep ruling against Trump. Is that true, Alex? Is that how it works? Can they do that? Because if they can, our system doesn't mean crap. if it can be thwarted that easily, then it's, you know, there's no power left.
It's a little crazy. You cut out for me there because I lose audio too when this network is not functioning. When what cuts off?
Wait, I don't know what context. When
you just said if it can be cut off that easily, what was the it?
It being the judiciary branch. If they're saying Congress controls the budget and they can cut off the budget, threatening these judges that rule against Trump.
Yeah, well, they can threaten the judges. The judges should, You know, they're literally going to be perhaps the last bulwark of this republic that we have at this point. And I think our caller was right to bring up the fact that it is extraordinarily terrible and scary that Trump has been targeting law firms with executive orders that would essentially punish them and is now demanding that they perform pro bono work on issues that he supports. And that this is an insane time here. You know, and if all these law firms are bowing down to him, then we're losing the defenders of democracy here. We're losing the defenders of the Bill of Rights. You know, lawyers here are really the foot soldiers in this fight, because the judiciary will have nothing to rule upon if there aren't lawyers to file lawsuits and complaints and motions and injunctions to stop Trump. It's a really insane situation. And so, you know, most of the Am Law 100s, the big firms, especially the firms that have been associated with any kind of progressive causes, they all, I think, right now, are expecting more executive orders to come. The Financial Times has even reported that more executive orders were likely coming, perhaps even as soon as next week, that could be targeting other law firms. So all these firms, if I were their chairman, unlike the chairman of Paul Weiss, I would not bend over for Trump here. I would start preparing my complaint and my application for injunctive relief to keep the status quo and to prevent the executive order from having any effect. And if an executive order comes out targeting my firm, what I would do is I would file that lawsuit immediately. I mean, within the hour, be down and ready
to get it done. Yeah.
Really prepared here, and you can't wait until it happens. You have to start preparing for this now.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree with that. You know, it's one thing when you see major tech companies bowing down to Trump and yielding to him. That can't happen with legal firms. That can't happen with journalists. There are certain parts of society that have to stand up to this. And they can't cave. And we have to make sure that they don't. We have to make sure we support them, that they are strong enough to fight. And, you know, that's how you get journalists like you know, Jeffrey Goldberg, standing up to this crap, you know, and basically being able to act well under pressure. And believe me, there's a lot of pressure that is being thrown his way now, and the Atlantic and journalists everywhere. And this kind of thing will happen again, as a previous caller said. So, yeah, it's, you know, what also really got me the last couple of weeks is realizing that there are different levels of justice in this country. And that just because you are in the country legally doesn't mean you have the same rights as somebody who was born here. So people who have legal status, or people who have lived in this country since they were a child, but they weren't born in this country, they can be rounded up in the street. I've seen videos of this. They can be rounded up in the street because they were at a demonstration. I mean, this sounds like Russia. They were at a demonstration, or they signed a petition, or they did something that the regime does not like. And now they're going to be sent to a foreign country. They're going to be expelled from the only land they may know, or from a land that they are engaged in studies in, or just, you know, it's a major part of who they are. It is who they are. And what we assume can never happen does happen if you are not pure, if you were not born here, if you're not somebody. And even those people, I'm seeing threats against people who commit violent crimes but were born in this country, of being sent to another country to be in a horrible prison there. So don't think they're going to stop. Don't think they're going to stop with they'll go for another crime after that, a crime that we all would say, oh, that's a horrible crime. Of course you should get rid of those people. But then it'll start becoming more and more familiar to us. It'll start becoming, you know, that person down the block, and people who just don't know when to keep their mouth shut. And it's starting now. You know, I'm tempted to say that's how it starts. No, today, that is how it starts. What you're seeing today. And that's why, yeah, we have to get our show on the road and prepare for this. Absolutely. No one's going to argue with me. No one's going to say, yeah, I agree completely. No. No, just...
I think it's just... Yeah, go ahead, Alex.
Yeah, it's getting late here.
Well, yeah, you're lying down on a bed. I know.
I know.
It's your choice to be in London, all right? Yeah. The fight continues, Alex, no matter what time of day it is.
Or the country, I guess.
All right, we're going to take one last phone call. And I understand it's from a very special caller. Good evening. You're on off the hook overtime. Go ahead.
Hi, Emmanuel. It is from a very special caller.
Rebel, you know, usually you're number one, and today you're the last call. I don't know if that's ever happened on any radio show.
Well, I mean, I just had hernia surgery the other day. So.
Oh, my goodness. That's horrible. I mean, it's good you had the surgery, but, boy, that must have sucked.
Yeah, it really does. Well, when I'm recovering, it's good that I'm recovering, but, it just happens. The hernia happens, and I guess, yeah, as you get older, I mean, but it's common. I mean, my sister had it. My brother-in-law had it. People have it, you know, and sometimes happens. People think of hernia as, oh, you lift something too heavy, but I didn't lift anything heavy. I mean, I did work out, like, did, like, pull-ups or chin-ups or, like, hung from a bar to, you know, just, like, one of those pull-up bars, but I don't think that serious.
Well, you know, people have hernias that don't cause them problems, that they have for years. Some people have big hernias. Some people have multiple hernias. The important thing is to have it checked out and to have it taken care of, because it shouldn't be a big deal if you have it taken care of.
I was told that if I didn't take care of it, it looked like a groin hernia. It was like under my stomach. But if I could strangle my intestines and you could die, is that true?
Sure, yeah. If you don't take care of anything, it could definitely... do something like that. That's why you always pay attention to your health and don't worry about what this is going to cost or anything like that. You are entitled to be healthy.
Right. I mean, the insurance pays for it, but of course.
Yeah, and even if they don't, figure that out later.
I'll just say that, yeah, we'll figure it out. Yeah, I'll just say, I'm sorry, that wasn't my thing. Your hospital had a data breach.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happens if you have, you know, remember when we were, because I was looking at the hospital's computer that had a computer, a PC, like a monitor and a keyboard, but I guess they were on Wi-Fi because it wasn't connected to anything.
Interesting. Yeah, they can't prove you had a hernia. How are they going to prove that? There's no hernia anymore, so, yeah, good luck with that. I'm fine. Leave me alone.
Yeah, but let's see.
What else has been going on, Rebel, or has that pretty much taken up your world?
Well, it's been taken up in recuperating and, like, laying down and not working for the next week. And, you know, on my computer and just, you know, nice to just watch YouTube videos. And
oh, we were supposed to tell him. What was the thing called? W3M?
W3M.
You know about W3M? Did you hear the
I call? Heard of it. Is that the web browser?
Yes, it's a graphical. It's a text-based
terminal.
Yeah, four terminals.
It's the worst. So I go on my Linux Mint terminal and download. W3M. I think you could try W3M. That's the one with the graphic, right?
That's what the caller said.
Yeah, we don't have this.
We haven't used it ourselves.
But we hear good things about it. We heard them on this very airwave or whatever it's called.
We're passing along.
I got a hope.
Yeah, sorry. But
I still have to get my tickets for. But yeah. I want to still go to Europe. I mean, this year I'd like to go to Switzerland, Italy, like Milan, Italy this time. And I'd like to go to an odd country, you know, a country that people don't go to, like Uzbekistan or something like that.
Might I suggest Moldova? It's an incredible place. It really is.
Well, you know that, and you don't need a visa to go there. That's true.
Yeah.
You go to Tajikistan.
What's wrong with Moldova, Kyle? We were there. It's a beautiful place. And you go there through Romania. And if you hang out in Bucharest, that's a fun place, too. And you can get there by way of Hungary, which isn't so pleasant.
Well, I guess Switzerland's trains are very efficient.
Absolutely. You know, absolutely. And you know what? If you take a bus or a tram in the streets, you know, you will not only see exactly when it's supposed to arrive, but when you're on that tram at every stop, it'll tell you all the other trams that are going to meet that tram at the stop that you're coming up to and what time they're going to be there. And if any of that is more than, say, 15 seconds past when it's supposed to be there, people start getting agitated. They really want things to be on time.
Right. That's what I heard about Switzerland.
Where in Switzerland?
I want to go to what's one of those cities called? Zurich, Switzerland, and take a train up to Bern, Switzerland, which is the capital, then take another train up to the other part of Switzerland.
Basel?
Oh. No, what's the one where they had the treaties back in the 70s?
Blanking, I don't know.
Geneva,
there you go.
The Geneva Convention, yeah. Yes.
Right.
Is there a Geneva Convention Center, I wonder? That'd be kind of cool.
I don't know.
You know, Bern, Switzerland, that's where I got Geraldo Rivera's video camera stolen. Well, I didn't get it stolen. I was carrying it, and I slept in a hostel, and somebody stole it while I was sleeping. And why would I have Geraldo Rivera's camera? He used to do a program called Now It Can Be Told, and I was helping get footage of Dutch hackers. And why was I in Switzerland? Because I was on the way to Holland. I'll get too many questions here. Unfortunately, that's what happened. But we made up for it by having a Dutch hacker film the Dutch hacking that was going on, which resulted in the Dutch hacking tape that we released many years ago, back in the 90s, I think. So, yeah, that's a little bit of history there.
The train to Milan.
And you were talking the whole time, weren't you? What's this about a train to Milan?
Yeah, then from Zurich, Switzerland, I'm going to take it, or wherever, Switzerland, Geneva, I'm going to take a train to Milan, Italy.
Okay, that's a good trip.
Last year I was in Rome, so.
And you'll be going through the Alps, and it'll be very scenic.
Right. Well, that's why I'm going to take the train.
You know what, Rebel, you should take the Trans-Siberian Express.
I don't even want to take an Amtrak train to Florida.
Wait, what? Hold on a second. Nobody has ever said that I'd rather not take the Trans-Siberian Express. I prefer to take Amtrak to Florida.
I wouldn't even take an Amtrak. I wouldn't take a train overnight. It's just too annoying.
Wait, you're talking about all these train trips, and you won't take a train overnight. I don't know how to handle it.
I did it once.
It's very pleasant,
I mean,
you know.
I like
taking
trains.
It's very pleasant.
I like taking trains for a few hours, 4 hours or 5 hours. But being on a train for days?
Yeah, that's, well, I mean, you know, if you're an adventurer, this is the kind of thing you do. It's,
right.
You know.
Well, I mean, you know.
And you can also break it up. You can, you know, get off at a particular city, spend a couple of days there, then get on the next train that's continuing in your direction. That's what I did when I took it. And, you go through Russia, you go through Mongolia, you wind up in Beijing, and then you find your way from there. But it's all really interesting.
That's right. I'd like to go to China one day.
Well, that's a good way to get there. All right, Rebel, we got to go because it's late. And you called us late, but we're happy to hear you're recovering. Don't get another one.
No, I know. Don't get it. That's what I'm afraid of. You know, my sister said her hernia. I don't know how that happens, but I really wouldn't want to know.
Well, just keep getting checkups, like maybe every 6 months. Just have it, you know, looked at, make sure it's progressing nicely, and that's the best thing you can do.
Right.
All right.
Now, taking pain medication. Like, I did not take the pain medication that the hospital gives. Like, they give the opioids. I said, I do not want that.
That's smart.
Good man.
Yeah.
You know, I told my friend, you know, maybe I could smoke some marijuana.
Yeah, no, that's...
Smoke lots of marijuana.
That's actually good for you. That actually will help.
Actually, you know, I could, you know, drink liquor and get drunk, but, you know, I was...
That's not good for you. That won't help. That won't help at all.
Did they tell you anything? Is there anything you can do to prevent hernias? Like, is there any, like prevention?
I don't know.
Guidelines?
I don't know. It just happened. I don't
just
know what...
Just out of nowhere?
It happened, like, 2 months ago or so. I was doing, like, some, like, chin-ups with a friend. I don't think this did it. Chin-ups, and, like, I was hanging on a bar, like, you know, instead of doing chin-ups on the bar, you just sort of hang there.
Yeah.
I don't think that did it, but, I mean, like, for, like, a few weeks later, that's when I started feeling this lump, you know, you know, by my dick. I well, obviously we're not on the air. I could say that.
Yeah, but should you?
I mean, that seemed like about it bluntly.
Yeah, okay, that's as blunt as you can get, but okay.
Was it painful?
It was. It would be a little painful, and then it would go away.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, sometimes it would be not painful, debilitating painful. I could walk, but I have to walk a little slowly. Sometimes you have to sit down a little slowly, and, you know.
Well, the important thing is you went and had it checked, and they said you need surgery for this, right?
Right.
Okay, so that's it. You have something checked. I have a small hernia myself, and the doctor says, yeah, it's not bothering you. You're fine. But it could one day, and then, you know, then I'll deal with it then. But
now it had, like, a belly button hernia?
Yeah,
or it,
yeah,
you know?
One of those. So,
right, yeah, so that's...
Yeah. Anyone else want to talk about their body and what's on it?
I had a hernia taken care of. I believe I was 3 or 4 years old at the time.
You had a hernia at 3? My God. Wow.
Mm-hmm. You're a cheaper this
You one. Came into this world on all fours, man. Wow. That is something. Okay.
I did not smoke marijuana to deal with the aftermath, though.
Well, it wasn't legal back then, but if you were a 3-year-old today, I would recommend it.
It's not a requirement.
No. Well, not smoking. I recommend the gummies, but no, I'm not recommending any of that.
I mean, I don't.
That's not good for a 3-year-old, but neither are
hernias. I wish we could hack our bodies, like hack the hernia, you know, like, you know.
I sense a hope talk here. Hack the hernia. Whoa.
Reroute it.
Hack your hard bodies. That's like a talk for hope.
Uh-huh.
Well, we're in an age where there's ever eminently more ability to understand all of these things and tools, and just the mystery of a lot of it is, it seems like it's disappearing and shedding away every day. So perhaps, yeah, your story could be something, a subject of a talk or things like it regarding it, the just, you know, biology and there's so much going on with that in general, bioscience. So please take note of your stories out there, everyone, and share.
Yeah, and now you can help other people, too, who are going through similar things with your experiences. But, Rebel, we got to go because it's getting late. Any a final sentence, if you want.
I wish they had a thing like a small portable X-ray that one could just, if they're having stomach pains or cramps or whatever, put on their stomach or tummy or whatever. See what's going on inside, so the doctor could say, oh, that's a whatever, or that's, you know, maybe a hernia. That's,
hang on. Okay, rather than walk around with an X-ray wand, which no doubt would be misused on your enemies, but when you go to the doctor who tells you that, he's probably got an X-ray set up, or there's one down the road that you can do pretty easily. So I think that's a better way to do it, because X-rays, you're not supposed to have a whole lot of those.
There's very small portable ultrasound now.
Right, that you can walk around with?
I don't think it's, like, enough to fit in your pocket, but there are the technologies like that are getting smaller and more portable,
especially for
places that are far-flung and don't have larger...
I think the imaging places should be the places where those exist, though, not in people's, you know...
Kitchen. Absolutely, yeah. You want someone trained to how to use it. You don't want to, like, see some shadow or something.
Let's see what's inside the cat. No, we don't want to do that.
And then, you know, you misdiagnose yourself. You need someone who understands what that kind of imaging is.
Right.
But certainly the possibilities are changing all the time.
All the time.
And we have these very powerful computers.
We have the internet. God help us.
Yeah, there's that.
All right, Rebel, pleasure hearing you, and stay healthy.
Get better.
Okay. All right.
And for the first time in history, Rebel is closing the show, and we are done here. Guys out in Signalville, Signalland, any last words? In fact, I'm going to insist that you all have last words. You decide who goes first and who goes last.
I'll jump in then. I'll just say good night. It's late. See you all soon.
Safe travels, Alex.
You sure that's what you want to say, Alex? Because that's kind of
Before I start cracking up there.
I'm surprised you stayed the whole time. I said you should go after 30 minutes, but you stuck.
I know. I just said, you know, fuck it. I'll just stick around. But I am exhausted. I'm going to hang up as soon as we drop here.
Well, you have to hear what Rob and Gila say. That would be rude for you to hang up on them.
Well, yeah. I think all I'll say is I'd like to point out to everyone following the news that we were using a Signal group call before it was cool. About 2-3 weeks before it was cool.
It's true. Yeah. And I will also say goodnight. Thank you to the 49 people who hung with us the whole time tonight. And, you know, shout out to the good folks at Raygun for already creating a We're Clean on OPSEC t-shirt.
Very cool. All right.
We're clean on OPSEC. Hold my beer.
Unbelievable. All right, everybody. Yeah. Have a good night. Don't take things too seriously, and we'll see you next week. Good night.
Good night, all. Bye.